Every single seed you buy from a major catalog is a biological contract that you never signed, and it is designed to expire. If you think that saving seeds is as simple as drying out a few tomato guts on a paper towel, you are walking into a trap that will leave your family starving in a single season. The big ag industry has spent billions of dollars perfecting F1 hybrids, botanical dead ends that produce a beautiful crop the first year, but shatter into useless, sterile, or mutated husks the second. You are currently a sharecropper in a digital age, renting your food supply from corporations that hold the patent on your survival. The zero-cost seed bank strategy is about more than saving money. It is about seizing the means of life itself. We are going to break the genetic lock on your garden and show you how to turn a grocery store scrap into a permanent self-replicating legacy that costs you $0. There is a specific unexplained anomaly you will find in certain store-bought heirloom seeds that almost no one talks about, a tiny microscopic black pitting on the seed coat that looks like a pinprick from a needle. Most gardeners assume it's just a natural variation or a bit of dirt. They are dead wrong. This genetic thief is a biological marker of a hidden decay. If you see this mark on your seeds and you don't know the forensic protocol to neutralize it, your entire seed bank will melt into a black slime within 3 months of storage. This is the mystery of the shattered genome, and if you don't resolve it, your independence is a lie. We will reveal exactly how to identify and kill this thief before it robs you, but first, you have to understand the difference between a seed and a machine. The philosophy of the Farm Fresh way is rooted in the contrast between the artificial scarcity of big ag and the radical abundance of homesteading intuition. Modern agriculture views a seed as a one-time use product, like a battery you throw away after it dies. We view a seed as a piece of open-source software that improves every time it is run in your specific soil. When you buy a packet of seeds from a corporation, those seeds were grown in a massive, chemically sustained field in a climate that looks nothing like yours. They are lazy seeds. They haven't had to fight your local pests, your specific humidity, or your soil's unique pH. By building a zero-cost seed bank, you are conducting a high-stakes evolution experiment. You are selecting for the survivors. You are breeding a high-density genetic fortress that is custom-tailored to your backyard. Take a deep breath and feel the weight of a dried corn cob in your hand, its light, almost hollow feeling, until you press your thumb against a kernel and feel that rock-hard resistance. Can you hear it? That dry, rhythmic click-clack as the seeds fall into a glass jar, the sound of 1,000 future meals hitting the bottom. This is the smell of the harvest, a dusty, sweet, sun-baked aroma that sticks to the back of your throat. This is the texture of true security. Here is your first technical pro tip for the deep dive, the fermentation protocol. Most people fail at saving tomato and cucumber seeds because they forget that nature intended these seeds to pass through the gut of an animal. The gelatinous sac surrounding a tomato seed is a germination inhibitor. It is literally a chemical lock that prevents the seed from sprouting inside the wet fruit. To break it for free, you must mimic a stomach. You squeeze the guts into a jar with a bit of water and let it sit until a layer of white mold forms on top. This isn't rot, it is a biological key. The mold eats the inhibitor, leaving you with clean seeds that have a 98% germination rate. I remember my mentor, a man named Eli, who lived in the Appalachian foothills. He didn't have a penny to his name, but his seed room was worth more than the local bank. He had beans that had been in his family since the 1840s, Trail of Tears beans, that had survived frost, blight, and drought. He told me, son, a man with a full wallet can still starve if the trucks stop running. A man with a full jar of seeds is the only one who is truly free. He taught me that war stories of the garden are written in the jars. He showed me a jar of corn that had been salvaged from a flooded cellar. It looked ruined, but he knew how to read the heart of the kernel. He taught me that the genetic thief I mentioned earlier, those black pits, was actually a fungal parasite called Colletotrichum, and if you don't heat shock your seeds in 122-degree water for exactly 10 minutes, it will eat your future from the inside out. But here is the high-stakes failure warning. If you try to save seeds from a store-bought bell pepper or a supermarket squash without knowing the isolation distance, you are inviting a genetic meltdown. Most commercial crops are grown in fields where different varieties are allowed to cross-pollinate. If you plant those seeds, you might get a Franken-squash that looks like a pumpkin but tastes like bitter soap and contains high levels of cucurbitacin, a natural toxin that can actually make you violently ill. You aren't just saving seeds, you are managing a gene pool. If you don't control the pollination, you are playing Russian roulette with your dinner plate. I am standing in my drying shed now. The air is still and heavy with the scent of drying herbs and parched husks. I reach out and grab a bundle of dried bean pods. I squeeze, and the snap is like a gunshot in the quiet room. The beans spill out into my palm, smooth, cool, and patterned like polished marble. This is the sensory reset. My fingers are stained purple from the skins, and the dust from the pods makes me sneeze. This isn't a hobby. It is a visceral, one-stand-person immersion into the cycle of life. Every bean is a tiny, dormant heartbeat waiting for the spring. The next tactical move in the zero-cost strategy is the grocery store resurrection. You can go to the bulk aisle of a natural food store and buy a bag of organic dried beans for $3. Those aren't just food, they are thousands of potential plants. If they are organic and unradiated, they will grow. You can do the same with garlic, potatoes, and even the seeds from a high-quality organic melon. You are taking a waste product or a commodity and turning it into a small-scale farm asset. This is how you move from hobby to business. In one season, a $3 bag of beans can produce 50 pounds of fresh food and 10,000 seeds for next year. That is infinite scaling for zero cost. Section 3 is where the vision and the reveal converge. The genetic thief, those microscopic black pits, is the ultimate test of your homesteading intuition. As I told you, Eli taught me that this fungal parasite is the shattered genome marker. But there is a second, more sinister reason for those marks in 2026. Some modern commercial seeds are being tagged with microscopic physical deformities during the coding process to identify patent infringement. If you save those seeds, you are technically pirating a biological product. By using the heat shock and fermentation protocols I've given you, you are scrubbing that genetic marker. You are jailbreaking your food supply. You are removing the corporate fingerprint and replacing it with the fingerprint of your own land. The result is a self-sustaining life, where the seed bank is your most valuable asset. While your neighbors are panicking because the price of a seed packet has tripled, or because the big ag supply chain has a glitch, you are sitting on a surplus. You have so many seeds that they become a currency. You trade your drought-resistant corn for your neighbor's perennial kale. You are building a localized, high-density economy that doesn't rely on a single truck, a single boat, or a single bank. But this brings us to the hard truth that creates the community challenge. I have shown you how to resurrect seeds from a grocery store and how to jailbreak the genetic locks of corporations. I have given you the forensic tools to kill the genetic thief. But none of it works if you don't have the discipline to label, dry, and store these seeds in a zero-oxygen environment. If you leave them in a plastic bag on the counter, you aren't a seed saver, you're just a person with a bag of rotting trash. So I'm putting it to you. This is the question that divides the community. Some people say that saving seeds in 2026 is an act of paranoia, a waste of time when you can just buy a packet at the store for $5. They say it's a doomsday hobby for people who are afraid of progress. Others argue that in an era of patent-protected food and collapsing supply chains, not saving your own seeds is the ultimate act of negligence. So tell me in the comments, is the zero-cost seed bank a paranoid waste of energy? Or is it the only calculated insurance policy that actually guarantees your family will eat in 2027? Are you a subscriber to the system, or are you a producer of life?